Hey everybody, welcome back. And we are in a mini-series called Live Life Loved. And what we're doing is a deep dive into our identity based on what Paul says to us in Ephesians chapter 1. Remember, in chapter 5, he says, be imitators of Christ, be imitators of God, as dearly loved children. And that's the key. We obey, we live out of God's love for us. And in chapter 1, Paul says 11 times that we are in Christ. Our identity is rooted and based on not who we are, but whose we are. Let me say that again. Our identity is not based on who we are, but whose we are. And Paul is trying to convince the early Christians here in Ephesus, in the same way he's trying to convince you and I, that we need to see ourselves through a different set of eyes. We need to see ourselves not the way we might look at a distorted mirror that stretches us to be long and tall or causes us to be short and wide. No, we need to look at ourselves through the lens of being in Christ. And that can be very hard to do, and it can be a process. But what we've learned so far is that because we are in Christ, it means that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. There's no blessing that you are missing out on. And then secondly, we are chosen. Christ chose us before the foundation of the world. And he didn't choose us because we earned it or deserve it. He just simply chose us because. But then today, in verse 5, Paul says this, that he, that is Christ, predestined us for adoption to sonship. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. And this was, by the way, accordance with his pleasure and his will. So think about that for a sec. God takes great delight, great pleasure in choosing you and then adopting you. Now, I've never been adopted, but I have adopted two children. And I'll never forget the day we sat before a judge and signed the papers, making them in every legal sense my children. Now, even though I have three biological children, I absolutely love my adoptive children as much. I don't see a difference in my love for them. And so, while I may not understand what it's like to be adopted, I do know what it's like to be on the other end of adoption. And, you know, in the first century, adoption was very different. It was legal and binding, but usually only men were adopted. Usually by wealthy people, one, because they didn't have any children to pass on their inheritance to, or they had kids that they didn't want to give their inheritance to. By the way, I'm available for adoption if anybody's interested. Nevertheless, it was a legal and binding relationship. And what it meant was is that adopted son would have all the rights and privileges of sonship. Now, sonship meant a lot more in the first century than what it might mean today. It's not a gender thing, and so don't get caught up in that it's a son. This is as true for daughters as it is for boys. But sonship in the first century, sorry ladies, women were property. They didn't own stuff often in most places. But a son was given all the rights and privileges of a firstborn. It meant they took on the name of their adoptive father. It meant that they would receive the inheritance and the blessing that would normally be reserved for the son, the firstborn son. You know, I heard a tragic story not too long ago about a boy who had been adopted. He had been through the foster system for a number of years, bounced here and there. And when he came to this loving couple who just absolutely loved and adored him, he continued for many months to hoard food in his room. Now, you'd think that the parents maybe got irritated or offended or bothered by that. But every time they found that he had hoarded food in his room, they would put him on their knees, and they would hug him, and they would whisper into his ear how much they love him and that they chose him and that he was their son. And they would remind him over and over and over, you don't have to hoard food. You don't have to hide food in your room anymore. There will always be enough for you. There will always be enough for you. So what I want you to do today is, most of you probably don't know what it's like to be adopted. And I would imagine many of you listening might even struggle with the image of God being a father, even an adopted father. Now, I have my opinions as to why Scripture over and over and over refers to God as our Father. Even though most people carry around father wounds. I mean, at a dinner party, next time we can get together and have a group of people for dinner, just throw out this question and see how people respond. Hey, what was your relationship like with your father? Very few people can talk about a relationship with their father that was meaningful and life-giving. So many of us carry father wounds with us long into our adulthood. And that is, in my opinion, maybe the most important reason why God wants us to see him as father. Not because so many fathers are bad fathers, but because he knows how important it is for us as human beings to have a deep, loving connection, a meaningful relationship with a father figure. And so God comes along, and whether our parents were imperfect or absent or abusive, he comes along and says, I am your loving heavenly Father. And we get caught up and we get off guard and we divert our attention to the wrong things, but he puts us on his lap and he holds us tightly and he whispers into our ear, I love you. I love you. You don't have to do that anymore. I'm here. I will always be enough for you. And so take a few minutes and sit in the chair that you're sitting in. Put your feet on the ground and feel the ground with your feet. Feel the chair around your body. And just be in the moment. Be present to what is going on around you, the sounds that you hear. And then be present to what is going on in you. And what does that do to your soul? To hear the voice of God leaning into you, whispering in your ear, you are my beloved child. You are my beloved child. I've blessed you. I've chosen you. And I've adopted you. You are legally, in every sense, my child. In the same sense, don't miss this, in the same sense that Jesus is God's beloved son. You too are God's beloved child. That doesn't make you God. That doesn't make you divine. That simply means you get all the rights and privileges and inheritance and blessings that the Father has poured out on Jesus. And it's because Jesus lived the life that you could never live and then died the death that you and I deserved. He stepped in as your substitute, as my substitute, so that we could be his beloved children. And such we are. Let that truth, let that reality embed itself in your heart and mind today and begin to live life love. May the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God bless you guys, and I'll see you next time.